About 40,000 Verizon landline and internet workers along the East Coast walked off the job today after going 8 months without a contract. It's one of the largest U.S. strikes in recent years. In Boston, Verizon technician and union steward Brian Phillips explained what prompted the strike.
They want to strip away our job security, move the jobs overseas, freeze the pension, if not remove it completely, completely diminish health care.
Phillips is a steward with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2222. We're going to hear from Verizon in just a moment, but first let's turn to another union rep, Ed Hastings. He's president of IBEW Local 2222. Ed Hastings, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So first of all, tell us a little bit more about why workers decided to hold this strike after all these months of contract negotiations.
Well, we've been engaged in contract negotiations with Verizon since June of 2015. And from the very beginning, Verizon began putting comprehensive proposals with concessionary demands in every part of our contract. We're talking about a very profitable company. We're not talking about a company that's struggling financially. So the union had difficulty accepting diminishments. Mm. So we have been really engaged in unfruitful bargaining right up until contract negotiations. It was very clear to us through the contract expiration. It was very clear to us that Verizon had no intention of reaching an agreement with us. We have very experienced bargaining people at the table that know how to get to an agreement. But it was very clear to us that Verizon from the very beginning did not want an agreement with us.
Well, Ed Hastings, if I just may ask you, I'm looking at a statement from Verizon itself, and they say that 36,000 employees covered under these contracts have a wage and benefit package that averages more than $130,000 a year. And at the last round of negotiations, Verizon had offered a 6.5% wage increase over the term of the contract, what they say is quality and affordable health care, competitive retirement benefits, including a 401k with company match. So I'm wondering, what exactly is it that that doesn't satisfy what the IBEW is looking for?
Well, that's just simply not true. The package that was presented to the members of our unions was loaded with diminishments. I can't speak to a $130,000 wage package. I don't know anybody that's making $130,000. And the last time they told us it was a $110,000 package. So. What has happened is Verizon has come after our job security. They've come after our
Yeah, Mr. Hastings, you still with us? Well, it looks like we've lost Ed Hastings, president of IBEW Local 2222. If you can still hear me, Mr. Hastings, thanks very much for joining us. Let's turn now to Rich Young. He's director of external communications and media relations at Verizon. Rich, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. First of all, what's your reaction to the fact that 40,000 workers are frustrated enough that they've decided to strike?
Yeah, it's truly unfortunate when you think about it, because we don't believe this is driven at the worker level. This is a cause from the union leadership, which has refused to come with us and bargain in good faith. We've been trying to work on a contract for the past 10 months. We've put great offers on the table. You've released the stats, and the stats speak for themselves. It is the truth. The average wage and salary package for the union members across our wireline footprint is $130,000 a year. They have a defined pension plan and a 401k with a company match. There's great health care benefits, and more than 80% of these employees have job security protections, and that will remain. Huh. What we're asking for is for the unions to work with us on some challenged areas of the business, and they can work with us to help make this line of business more competitive.
No, but you heard Ed Hastings before saying that they don't see it that way, that they see that the offer that you put in front of them is full of what he was calling diminishments.
I mean, they could call it what they wanted, but the facts are the facts. We've put several offers on the table, And here the reality is, if they don't come to the table to negotiate, we're not going to get anywhere. Just yesterday, the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service came to both sides and asked if we wanted to enter into mediation. We immediately agreed. The union never responded. We want nothing more than to meet with a union, whether it's through a mediator or not, work out the deal so that our employees can get off the street and back to work, serving our customers.
Hmm. Well, I was looking at the 2015. Let me get this right here. I was looking at the January 21st, 2016 earnings call that had to do with the fourth quarter of 2015 earnings, and at that point in time, Verizon reported fourth quarter revenue in 2015 of $34.3 billion, up by 3.2%, and said that the company returned more than $13.5 billion to shareholders during the year, including dividends. And Fran Shammo, who's the executive vice president at Verizon and CFO, in that earnings call called it a strong balance 2015. So if the company is doing so well, why is it so hard for, I mean, what are the obstacles to coming to a resolution in this contract dispute?
It's an interesting question, because I think if you speak to most people in Boston and you said, would you take a job that's worth $130,000 or more, in some cases, in salary benefit, they would say yes, especially if they got a pension and a 401k with a company match, excellent health care, job security, and more. So that's a very good question. So it's really a question for the union. And once again, we're asking them, it's time to get serious about negotiating a contract. It's time to get serious about getting our employees off the street, back into the call centers, into the field where they can serve our customers. In the meantime, we're not taking customer service for granted. Over the past year, we have trained thousands of Verizon employees to fill in for these striking workers. We built a custom training center down in Virginia. We sent thousands of non-union employees down to that facility to learn all sorts of functions from the business, from working in a call center, to working out into the field, to working in our network centers. Customer service is our top priority. Ideally, we'd like to have our regular workforce doing it, but in the meantime, it will not stop us from serving our customers, and we'll do what we have to do.
Rich Young, I'm curious about something. So back in 2011, some 45,000 workers also went on strike at Verizon. That was resolved through mediation after 2 weeks. I'm wondering how much of what is at stake here, not so much, I mean, the details of the contract negotiations themselves are important, obviously, but I'm wondering how much of what's at stake is also Verizon's stance regarding its non-union employees, because there's a sense among some that if Verizon does give what is seen to be a beneficial package or the kind of package that the union is looking for, that non-union employees might ask for the same thing or perhaps unionize themselves. I'm just wondering if you're looking at those other Verizon employees and saying, what we don't want to have to give them what we might have to bargain with the union for.
You know, it's an interesting question, but the facts speak for themselves, so much so that we have a full-page ad in today's Boston Globe outlining exactly what we give our unionized employees. And certainly anyone's able to read that offer, including our non-union workforce. Listen, we are a great company to work for. We have solid, dedicated employees, both on the union side and the non-union side. They're great jobs. It's a great company. What we need is for the unions to work with us to help keep this going.
Rich Young is Director of External Communications and Media Relations at Verizon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're quite welcome, and have a terrific day.
Well, let's get some further analysis on this strike and its import. We're joined now by Tom Kokin. He's Professor of Engineering Systems at MIT and co-director of the Institute for Work and Employment Research at MIT's Sloan School of Management. Professor Kokin, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's nice to be here, Magna.
So given what we just heard from both Ed Hastings and Rich Young, can you give us your perspective on what the real significance of this strike is, if any?
Well, the root cause of this strike goes back to the fact that the unionized sector of the company is declining, the wire and landline segment. And the non-union segment is growing, but the unionized workforce doesn't have access to organize the non-union sector. And so they feel, the union members, and feel some of the same frustration that American workers in general are feeling, that the company is doing well, it's growing, it's thriving in a particular area, but they're concerned about their job security going forward. They're concerned that they're not really benefiting in the growth of the company. And on the company side, they're concerned, as you said a minute ago, that they've got to hold their costs down in this segment because it will have implications for all of their employees, and they will have to do something for the non-union segment as well.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting because we were looking at the fact that the vast majority, some 99% of the workers who are on strike today work for Verizon's landline and wired services. But that actually represents only 7% of Verizon's overall revenues. I mean, the money and profitability for Verizon right now is in its mobile service. Do we have a sense as to what percent of the workforce in Verizon Mobile is unionized?
Almost none.
Almost none. Okay.
That's the problem that the union faces, and that's the dilemma. As we all know, the future is in the wireless side and in the data services and in the iPhones and so on. And so that part is growing, but the jobs that the union members have at the moment are declining and probably will decline more in the future. So the worry about outsourcing work, the worry about subcontracting work, the worry about actually closing down or selling it to another vendor, all are significant in the minds of the union membership and the union leaders.
Mm. Well, let's listen to a little bit of tape here from Brian Phillips again. He's with the local 2222 of the IBEW. He was protesting outside Verizon's building in Boston today.
To me, I'm fighting out here for, like, my kids, too. This is, like, corporate greed at the worst, in my opinion. I mean, this company, it's not like this company suffered and we should be giving back and to help them out. I mean, this guy, Lowell McAdams, comes in here way after any of us. This network was already built. He profits off of us, yet he wants to take from us. It's crazy, you know. But it's happening everywhere.
Professor Kokin, you know, I can't help but to hear that and draw my mind out to the larger context here. I mean, you mentioned it, part of that a second or two ago about the reduction in the number of union jobs. But also we're in this political moment as well where the voices of people like Brian Phillips are being expressed very, very much in the presidential race. So is there any way to see what's happening with this 2016 Verizon strike that makes it different perhaps from what we saw in 2011?
Well, I think it is a microcosm of the frustration that's being expressed in the political realm. And the workers at Verizon are very much like their brothers, largely, but brothers and sisters in blue-collar America who are very, very concerned that they're not benefiting from the growth areas of the economy and from the profits of the companies that they work for. And so it's that dichotomy. It's the fact that the company's doing well, it's growing, it's expanding, and we're not sharing in it in the way that we think is fair. And that frustration leads to lots of different actions, and that's what I think this strike reflects. I also think that we're in a world now where strikes are no longer a private affair. They're a public affair. So Verizon takes out a full-page ad on the back page of the Globe yesterday and today. The fact that we're talking about this today means that it's a media event, and the public is going to watch this, and there will be lots of commentary and lots of people who will say, you know, maybe this isn't fair, maybe it is, but they're going to draw some opinions from this, and I think that this kind of strike and the frustration in the political arena are really issues that have to be addressed not only in individual companies, but in the business community itself and in our national politics. So I think what we're seeing here is a reflection of the larger frustration out there.
Hmm, interesting. We're also seeing that some 20 U.S. senators sent a letter to Verizon urging the company to act as a, quote, responsible corporate citizen in negotiating with its workers. So another little point there about how public these battles have become. Tom Kokin, professor of engineering systems at MIT and co-director of the Institute for Work and Employment Research at MIT Sloan School of Management. Always a pleasure to speak with you, professor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Meghna.
We'll be back in about a minute and a half. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.